5 candles. 5 people. A box of matches or lighter for each 1 hour. It's all you need to play the midnight game. In this game, you play with one goal in mind. Don't wake them up. Who's they, you ask? They're what lies beneath. The rules are simple. Don't make a sound. Don't leave the play area. Don't let your candle go out. And don't get scared so badly you scream. If all these rules are broken, you lose. And they win. Now listen carefully and let me tell you what happened when I played the midnight game. Our play area was an old abandoned asylum known as Hammond's Ward. I played the midnight game with my friends, Carlton, Josie, Greg, and Benny. Benny was the one who learned about the midnight game. He was an amateur occultist during his emo phase, so he learned of this particular urban legend. He had to play for himself, only he needed 4 others to play, naturally. His friends were the first choice. 5 12-year-olds playing some kind of occult ritual. What could go wrong? I thought it was a joke when he asked me to play with him. I mean, when he insisted, I went along. Solely because I thought this would be rather amusing. I tried Bloody Mary with Benny once. Nothing happened. We'd gone to haunted houses looking for ghosts. Nothing happened. Benny was still convinced the supernatural was real, despite all his ventures turning up nothing. This time would be no different. I told him as much. How wrong I was. Benny explained the midnight game to us when we reached the asylum. It was a little-known urban legend that went as follows. Supposedly, there are things that lie beneath our notice, and they can only be contacted through a specific ritual, the midnight game. In this game, 5 people with 5 candles would sit in a circle, 1 candle for each. If the candle went out, it had to be relit as soon as possible. At some point, they could leave the circle, but not the designated play area. Another specific was that the midnight game had to be played in an area that had seen great suffering. Benny didn't need to explain that, as an asylum had a history all of its own. Sexual abuse of patients, multiple suicides, lobotomies. It had it all. Benny had even taken me here once, trying to find ghosts. We didn't. The asylum is an eerie place, nonetheless. Spray paint on the walls, often of upside-down crosses, pentagrams. The empty bottles made me realize we weren't the first people here. I wondered if anyone would come back. The place doesn't need ghosts to be horrific. Sometimes people are all there is needed. There was one last rule to the midnight game that Benny told us. Don't say a word. We can't speak for the full hour. We need a timer of some kind to ensure that the hour passed. So Greg set the timer on his phone. Benny took us to one of the cells, and that was where we played the midnight game. I asked him why this cell. He said that that door was the best. I asked him where he'd found this. And when he said that it was some internet forum, I rolled my eyes. And I was about ready to leave. I only stayed because my other friends did. And I didn't want to look like a pussy in front of them. Especially Josie. We sat in the circle and we passed around the candles. No 2 were identical. Mine was long, thin, and red. Josie's was orange and plump. Benny's was a black cylinder. Greg was a yellow stick. Carlton had a green stick. Benny explained one last thing before we started. We have to light our candles clockwise, he said. And in the last minute before midnight. What time is it? Greg pulled out his phone. 11:58. No, 59. Just changed. Benny breathed a sigh of relief and then lit his candle first. 1 hour. 1 hour of your time, that's all we ask. I went next. Then Josie. Then Greg. Then Carlton, who rolled his eyes. Once we'd lit our candles, Benny held out his hand. We hold our hands, he said, to show that we're united in this. I felt goofy, taking his hand, but it was nice to have Josie holding mine. Once Carlton had grumbled and grabbed Benny's hand, he continued. We all 5 seeking to play with you, he continued. 5 people with 5 candles. We seek to play the midnight game with you. Do you seek to play the midnight game with us? Silence. Absolute silence. That was what answered Benny. I opened my mouth to say this was stupid when I realized how quiet it was. I took in a breath and felt the air go down my throat, but didn't hear a thing. I tapped my foot against the floor gently. Not a sound. In the pit of my stomach, dread crept in. I looked over to Benny, alarmed, but he seemed entranced by the flame of his candle. "If you wish to play," he said, "give us a sign." His voice penetrated the silence, the only sound any of us could hear. I looked over at Josie. She moved her mouth as if she was saying something, but nothing was coming out. I glanced over at Carlton and Greg, who had expressions that mirrored both Josie's and my own. "Give us a sign," Benny said, suddenly like he was demanding them to obey him, but not with any genuine force. He was desperate, hoping beyond hope that this would work, that his interest in the occult and the supernatural wasn't pointless, that he would be able to show his face to his friends again. I could guess that that was what was going through his head at the moment. Nothing happened. We waited, breath held, wondering what we'd gotten ourselves into, but nothing happened. Benny sighed and opened his mouth to speak. I could see in his eyes the disappointment that this hadn't worked. Did he notice how quiet it was? The black cylinder in front of Benny was blown out by a gust of air. Benny froze, staring at the smoke rising from the burnt wick, then quickly pulled out a match and struck it and relit the candle. He smiled and turned to us. The disappointment was gone, replaced by an excited glee. "I don't think he realized the severity of what was going on. The game is on," he said. "It will begin in 3, 2, 1. All our candles went out instantly. In a panic to relight them, I didn't notice that the silence was gone. It was only after I stared at my long, thin candle, the red wax melting from the wick, that I realized I could hear the others breathing. I looked up and stared at my friends one by one. They were all as bewildered as I was, save Benny. I wanted to speak, to say something, but Benny had said that we couldn't speak for the full hour. After what had happened, did I want to risk something going wrong? The silence was broken by a voice, but it wasn't one of us.
"What have we here?"
it said, as soft as a child's.
"Players," said another voice, identical to the first. "Players for the midnight game. It's been so long since we've seen players for the midnight game."
"What joy, what joy," said a third voice. "What joy, what joy. It's been so long since I've played the midnight game."
"I've never played," said a fourth voice. "What do we do?"
"Come," said the fifth voice. "Let me show you."
I didn't even breathe, wondering if I had imagined the voices. I glanced up at Benny, whose eyes were wide with excitement and shock. "What the fuck, man?" Carlton said, breaking the silence. "Fuck this, I'm leaving." He grunted, and as I stared at him, I watched dumbfounded at how much he seemed to be trying to push himself off the ground. I couldn't help but notice the indents forming on the shoulders of his coat, like fingers as thin as pencils.
What the fuck? Carlton spoke softly, his voice quivering.
I couldn't help looking around the filthy room. Each one of my friends had eyes wide as mine. Benny was glancing behind him at nothing, so it seemed. I wanted to ask him what he was doing, but then my candle went out. I hastily struck a match and lit the candle before turning back to Benny. He wasn't staring at the wall anymore. He was looking directly at his candle, face pale. Briefly, his wet eyes glanced up and met mine. He didn't need to say a thing to convey his regret, one that I shared. There was a squeaking sound from outside, and we all glanced at the door. It was a sharp, painful, metallic, slow squeaking. It seemed to stretch throughout the asylum. It got closer and closer with each second. In anticipation, we waited for whatever horror would pass by the door. An empty, rusty wheelchair came into view, on the other side of the doorframe before it came to a stop. Slowly turning its crooked wheels, it faced us. The left front wheel lurched forward into the room suddenly, and then the right one. It lurched slowly, wheel by wheel, into the room until it passed the door and then stopped.
"The hell," Carlton said, the indents on his shoulders tightening.
"Shh,"
said the fifth voice suddenly.
"Shush. You don't want to wake them up, do you?"
That phrase sunk in slowly. Wake them up. Them. They hadn't woken up yet. The fifth voice continued to speak.
They aren't awake yet,
it said.
If they awake, you will all lose. Now pick up your candles, get to your feet. It's time to play the midnight game. You know the goal, don't you? Don't wake them up.
There was a pause before he continued to speak. As it did, I couldn't help noticing the way that the indents on Carlton's shoulders tightened.
If they wake up, we win.
I glanced at each of my friends in turn, before turning back to Carlton. The fifth voice spoke again.
This one's already spoken. They're stirring now, but not yet awake. It's only fair if none of you speak for the rest of the game, is it not? Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, but can you stop yourselves from screaming?
Carlton didn't.
He reached up an arm as he was suddenly yanked back into the darkness and vanished. I was about to cry out, but Benny held up a hand. In the other, candle held high as he pointed at the darkness.
Carlton was back. His face was long and gaunt, his hair white, his eyes wide. His entire body shaking. He opened his mouth and nothing came out.
One player,
the fifth voice said,
has lost the midnight game.
There was a soft giggle from the other four voices. Then all five spoke together.
One down. Four left.
Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I wanted to tell you thank you for watching or listening to tonight's video or tonight's episode of the podcast. Please subscribe on YouTube if you'd like to get more videos from me, or subscribe on Spotify if you'd like to get more podcasts from me. Or if you just like listening to me in general, you can always check out audible.com. On audible.com, I've got a bunch of different audiobooks that I've worked with for these authors that you may see across the channel. Some of my personal favorites I've worked on are the ones from Vincent Venacava, as well as the ones from Gas Station Jack or Jack Townsend. You can find all those audiobooks from Vincent, as well as Tales from the Gas Station, Volume 1 and Volume 2, available on audible.com. And now, for patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta, which you can always find in a link in the description, I want to give you all a very big thanks. There's many of you down there in the descriptions who I give big thanks to, and everybody also at this tier, like Dr. Strawberry, Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Ken Lando Higuchi, Brianna Ventine Jensen, Chompinski, The Red Oak Shield Virus, Sandy Barney, H.G. Weevil 3, Diana Krause, Stephen Van Huss, Tristan Pelton, Nico Kao, The Ginger Bros, Dante Rao, Rafael Rodriguez, Last Blade Song, Don Muehlmeister, Eliminator 86, Nebsky, Steampunk Sinner, Optimistic Avocado, Caleb Dougal, Daniel Paulson, Finley, and Sky Harbor. You guys are the MVPs, and you guys keep the channel running, and I honestly cannot thank you enough for all that you do. That's all for tonight, guys. Sweet dreams.